I think plus minus kind of tell you a lot.
Curry steps back. Bang! 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 Exclamation point!
The plus minus statistic.
It's a stat that tells the truth.
Are you a believer in that statistic?
You tell me. I know it's good to be a plus.
It's Warriors plus minus.
Plus minus, plus minus.
Hello and welcome to an, I'm going to call it an Indianapolis version of the Warriors.
For you it is.
For me and for another panelist who I'm thinking we might see.
Well, I think we will now.
I just acknowledged. And Tip Kawakami, not in Indy, I assume in the Bay Area.
I am going to watch the Indiana Fever tonight. Indiana Fever at Valkyrie. Oh,
are you going to that game?
I'm going. It's
So it is in Indianapolis.
Yes, I should have said yes, it is. It is. Many things. The world is Indianapolis. So basketball world center, and we got MT here now too. So we're all indeed up. Good to have everybody here.
Marcus is in Indianapolis, but I'm not sure he wouldn't rather be at that Valkyries Fever game tonight. I mean, that is a big
one. I would rather be there.
Gonna miss him. I'm all Valkyries MT now. I'm just Valkyries up. I'm into this. It's good.
Is this the only Caitlin Clark stop on the?
I believe so. MT might know
the finals.
Yes, I believe it's the only one. Wait, I don't even know how the playoffs work.
Come back in July.
Okay.
They come back in July.
Okay, there you go. I should know these things as the Valkyries beat writer. But this is the Valkyries plus minus, everybody. Good to meet you. Everybody, welcome in. No, we'll talk some Warriors. What are you guys thinking? What's your Warriors thoughts right now?
They have the 41st pick a week from now. Which
is also the night of a Warriors home game. I'm sorry, a Valkyries home game. That's going to be interesting. Going to have the draft. They may not have a pick, but they probably won't have a pick, but the first round of the draft is going to be going on the same time as the Valkyries play a game at Chase Center. But
well, I will say, you know, as they edge up against aprons and they always end up basically at the edge of you know, either it's a luxury tax number they don't want, maybe it's the first apron this year, maybe it's the second apron. They really count dollars, and it is why the 41st pick, I think, matters. I think they want to find somebody they believe they can roster, and they believe at some point in their rookie season they can play, just like they did with Quentin Post, just like they did with Trayce Jackson-Davis, because of the money component. They're like, you know, significantly less if you get a second round rookie compared to a vet minimum and how it counts on the books. And I do think, again, they're going to be, you know, very close to whatever threshold they decide to go up towards. So not that we have to sit here and talk prospects, although if you guys have a favorite second round
name? Who's the greatest number 41 pick of all time?
Wasn't Eric Paschal 41, by the way?
So he automatically is the greatest 41st pick of all time.
I mean, what was Jokic? Sorry.
Nikola Jokic, 41.
Oh, really? Wow.
Well, there you go. Are we sure he had a better career than Paschal? I mean, Paschal was like first team all rookie.
No, Paschal had a better rookie year. How about that?
That's probably true, actually.
He's still young. He can still do so much more in this. Oh, man, he's taking major shots here for being a really solid second-round pick. But I have no idea. It's probably going to be an older college player. I guess that's what you're kind of suggesting, Slater, right? I mean, somebody they can not have to, like, say, this guy's not going to play at all for 2 years. I think they kind of want to. You know, Dunleavy's, I don't know. Do you think that's a Dunleavy thing? He just likes the older college players, or is it he's reacting to, like, I just want players who can.
I mean, look, Podziemski was like a, you know, he came in with like a kind of, I guess you would say, a more polished game, but he was a younger ish college player, right? Yeah. After 2 years,
he was 20.
Trayce was your established guy. I just think they thought they needed a ready to go, like, lob threat. Which, you know, we even saw in the playoffs last year, as much as Trayce was buried at times, it was like suddenly they needed more, you know, pressure at the rim, and he was back in it. Post obviously was like your, you know, ready-ish stretch five. I think he took a couple months. I don't think it's like a definite, like, Dunleavy wouldn't, like, he was part of the Patrick Baldwin Jr. draft pick at 28, I would say, I remember, and like that was a real upside swing. I just believe that, you know, Mike is trying to meet the moment and has embraced the idea of, like, maximizing the Curry era more over the last few years, and part of that is like rostering, like, not rostering unplayable projects, basically,
especially since they'll need them all. I mean, I was looking at the mock drafts just to kind of catch up because we're so out of that loop. It's a lot of international players, you know. it's this. I think this one might be on the scouting department. Like, how can they find somebody overseas? And that's where you kind of get outside of like the college senior. You get a guy who's still young enough, but still got like some experience to him. A guy who's been playing since he was 15. Who they thought Alan Smilagic would be. I see a lot of those prospects in the second round, you know, in the mock drafts. So I'm curious how that goes. 39th
overall, Alan Smilagic.
Was he 39? And then they traded up for him or something.
Yeah, they traded
two future firsts to go up and get him, and then they got Pascal two picks later.
Not two future firsts.
No, two future seconds.
Yeah, I was going to say two future firsts. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, dude.
But they guaranteed him a contract. They guaranteed
him a spot. I guess the real question I would think is, what position do they go for? Especially if you consider post. I'm going to tell you who I like. It might be a little high for him. Who knows? Whatever. Second round. But just because of these finals, I'm definitely impacted.
You're about to go.
I'm going to be Ryan Nemhard from Gonzaga. That's what I'm saying. Missed on one Nemhard. Yeah. Like, they botched that pick so badly. Andrew Nemhard looks incredible, and the Warriors drafted Patrick Baldwin Jr. over him.
How tall is Andrew Nemhard? I'm about to look it up.
Andrew is like 6'2". Yeah. 6'3".
No, Andrew? No, he's bigger than that.
Oh, yeah. Well, his brother's smaller. His brother's smaller.
His brother's little.
Andrew Nemhard is listed at 6'4", and okay. Ryan Nemhard
like 5'11", 6'6"?
He's listed at 6 foot. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's smaller. He's smaller. Not the Warriors don't tend to like smaller guards, but
they like Tuffelins. Too many of them is the problem.
They like Tuffelins, you know, and he's a tough
point guard. I'm buying on the Nemhard family right now. That's all I'm saying. Or you know, get your hands on Andrew somehow.
They brought in a lot of like college, like older college guys in. Sion James from Duke, I think, is an interesting name. 6'2", kind of more like, you know, bulkier guard. And then RJ Lewis, I think, is an interesting name that they brought in. He's like the St. John's like scoring wing. He kind of had a bad end to his tournament, but remember him like Patino thing at the end? Yep. He got benched. Yep. He had a bad final game, but like whatever. He had a huge year for like a great St. John's team. I don't know. You know, they keep talking about positional size, right? And
yep,
we might be going the opposite with some of these names we're throwing out there, but like, you know. Like I said, RJ Lewis, 6'7" wing who can score it a little bit. I think they need some scoring punch, personally.
Yeah, I mean, it also depends on what they think they can get in free agency, what they think they get in trades. Do they have a line on somebody? Do they have a line on a wing? Do they have a line on a center? Like, who's – I'm just trying to think, who's going to go? Where are their holes going to be? Because, like, Spencer can come back. Santos can come back. Like, where are their holes going to be? I'm just trying to think right now. I mean, I guess they'd never really who was their backup two guard last year? Like, they could use a two guard, right? They could use another.
It was like Podziemski, Buddy Hield, you know, and you have obviously like they had Melton, right?
Yeah.
Those were entering camp was like that was the shooting guard battle. By the end of the year, Buddy had – I guess Buddy was a three kind of.
Yeah, yeah. I guess so. I was like, not that the 41st pick can jump in and do anything, but, man, if they need something, I'm just looking at that roster, like somebody who can give them minutes, it's a two, like a real two guard can play with – again, this is the 41st pick. But I'm just saying, if you look at where they could fit just minutes, just somebody can give them minutes, it's – center, if they could possibly get one, but I doubt it. 41, and it's two guard, if you ask me, just because Butler and Draymond have the, you know, 3-4, possibly 5 with Draymond, obviously. Whatever they do with Kuminga, they got Moody. You know, they've got Buddy. Like
Moody's another kind of two that's not really two.
Yeah. You can play him at two occasionally, but you don't really. I don't think Kerr thinks of him as a two. I think Kerr thinks of him.
Everybody's a four.
Four, a working four. Man, just a pure two. They just have not had a pure two who can work with Steph. Now, Melton probably could have been like that.
Prime Clay Thompson. Yeah,
absolutely. I was going to say that since Clay before the injuries. They just haven't had that guy. Now, a lot of teams don't have that guy. It's a tough guy to get. But if you ask me, just try to fake some minutes out of somebody, 6'5" guy who can do some things – That's what I think they would most need, kind of the middle to back end of the roster.
I just don't think they need another second round center who clearly at that part of the draft is absolutely no guarantee to be ready to step on the floor, because you're already talking about two cheap roster spots taken up by second round centers, right? Trace and Quentin Post. I think we'll see on Kevon Looney's future. Obviously, you got Draymond Green center minutes. While, you know, them potentially going and getting a free agent, more established veteran center, especially if they don't bring back Looney, which, you know, it's up in the air. We'll see. I could see. I think spending the second round pick on a center is not a good idea, just because they've done it the last two drafts.
And they're not going to play him. Like, unless they get rid of the two.
One of the
guys
two.
They have, yeah, one of the two, they're just not going to play him. And even when they were playing Quentin Post, they weren't playing TJD, right? Yeah. So you really got a spot, you got time for one of those guys. So I don't know why they would do it with the pick. I also think they need a point guard. I really do think they need somebody.
Damn hard. Really,
he's hard, man.
I mean, even if it's not damn hard, but like, how many times have they, even with Pods, like, just getting the ball up the court against pressure, is somebody you can say, all right, second unit, I have the ball, and nobody's going to take it, and we're fine. We're going to run our offense, and obviously need to be able to get downhill, like, penetrate, finish at the rim. Like, they need a point guard. It's Jimmy Butler and it's Draymond. That's who the backup point guards are. It's Jimmy Butler and it's Draymond, but they could use – somebody like an actual PG out there. I feel like they've been looking for that for a while.
They had one 2 years ago who was 38 years old at the time.
They loved it.
Chris Paul, how about the
– He's a free agent.
The Corey Joseph era, the Brad Wanamaker era.
Oh man, yeah, it's a
all available. I'm sure they're all available.
We go with Kiwi Gardner.
Has Spencer still in the mix?
Ryan Rollins out there
actually has become a pretty good player.
Better than I thought he was going to be. But yeah, we're talking 41st pick. It's going to be tough to any one of those guys to be able to actually give them minutes. But college point guards tend to drop, right? They get older. People don't love them. They fall out of love them. They want to go get the teenagers. But
teenage wings are all the rage.
Absolutely.
Maybe Ace Bailey will fall to 41.
he's trying to arrange this. So he's trying to tank his stock.
He's arranging a plummet. It's wild.
Warriors, come up and get him.
What range would we have to fall to for the Warriors to like sniff around off Joe Lacob going
8, 9, 10? I think they'd jump at that.
Remember when Cam Whitmore was thought to be like 4 or 5 and he dropped all the way to 20 and the Warriors had a chance at him at 19.
Yep.
And what Pajemski. So
I remember asking about that. You guys think about Whitmore? Nope. So, yeah, they might.
Asking Pajemski about Whitmore.
Oh, I don't know.
Remember that? So you were
there. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think somebody thinks they made the right. They made the right call.
Yeah, they're okay
with that. Yeah, at this point,
they're okay with that pick. But you know, and a lot of this is who are they going to get in free agency? Who are they going to get in the draft? I mean, who are they going to get in trades? So, you know, I they got it. That's all happening right now too, right?
Sure.
And you know, it isn't just one thing then the other. It's both things happening. You know, but I think one thing we'll agree, I don't think they're getting in the first round. Like, that's always a possibility with them, but they traded a first round pick, Jimmy Butler trade, and I don't think they're going to buy their way back in. I guess they could, but
I think it's more likely this summer they trade a future first than they acquire a current first.
Yep. Yeah, I just don't see them. It's going to take a lot to get into the first round, much more so than maybe in some past years. And they need to keep up that money for other deals. And they, you know, it just so, and then what are you getting? You know, if you jump into the 18th pick, are you getting somebody who's really going to be worth the roster spot and the guaranteed money? And we know where they are. Slater said on all the cap situation. So I don't see that happening, even though you never know. But,
I mean, let's be honest, part of the reason that they greenlit the Jimmy Butler deal and threw in what became the 20th pick is because they looked at the late lottery to the 20s of this draft and
we're not moved.
We're not wowed by the prospect list. So
it would have to be pretty high, I think, for them even want to get in.
Yeah, but, I had a 20, like higher than 20, probably.
I mean, look again, like if Cam Whitmore dropped, I'm not saying obviously clearly they weren't that interested in him, and I'm joking about the Ace Bailey situation, but sure, you know, Con Knipple drops to, you know, whatever. that's not perfect. No, I know it's not. But you know what I mean.
You mean Duke players?
They didn't get in and get Cooper Flagg.
Yeah.
what you got to give Nico? Draymond is like a defensive engine. He'd work well next to Davis. No, sorry, I'm taking this upstream.
You wild. I'm curious about which move. Obviously, there's a bunch of KD's the one move, but there's some other big pieces out there. Which of the dominoes you think will have the most impact on what the Warriors do?
Durant. I mean, like it is Durant, at least initially, because I mean that it impacts
the Kuminga. Yeah,
Kuminga is their summer. In a lot of ways. So Durant is that trade domino elsewhere. Now, if you're asking, like, you know, they could surprise and go try to find themselves a trade piece and a trade partner. And like,
or which other, is there another move that shakes up things enough to create some opportunities for them? You know,
Durant.
Right.
Yeah, it's Durant.
I am very curious. Boston's eventual direction here. Desire to shed salary. They obviously have a lot of pieces that could feel like more of like what the Warriors believe is a final piece of a contender, which, you know, if Porzingis wasn't going through this kind of wacky hell situation, he is like the stretch five that at his best fits perfectly next to Draymond, right? But I'm not sure you want that risk right now at that salary. Derek White. I mean, Steve Kerr played Derek White over Jason Tatum in the Olympics.
but could he play him over Pajemski? I don't know. Tatum's one thing, but can you?
And then Drew Holiday's another guy. So Jaylen Brown, like, you know, I don't know what Boston's going to do, but clearly, like, all indications are they're going to, like, they don't want to just be deep in the second apron without Jason Tatum next year. So, like, that's a team I'm monitoring, especially with the Warriors.
I don't want to get. Let's get Slater aggregated on this one. I'll underline. I have heard just randomly just wondering about two names on that team. Porzingis and Derek White. I've heard those just flow like, hey, I just wonder. I don't know how they get up to those numbers, but I've been told they can even without moving.
Well, it's not like the Mega Max number, right? Yeah, like I think Derek White's at like 30, right around 30.
I mean, I guess you could put – what Moody plus Buddy Hield plus some others, and you kind of can't get there because we know
the Kuminga sign and trade, while it has its, like, you know, impact, especially if you involve other teams.
Yeah, you'd have to involve some other teams because
like Brooklyn's sitting there like, throw a first with it, you know, a contract, and they'll absorb it.
Well, Derek White would be such a classic fit with the Warriors. Just a classic.
He's at 28 million.
Yeah.
Porzingis at 30.7.
Those are just, get Slater aggregated on this one. But I like heard that. And I went, like that. They just threw those names out. Like, okay. Like if you know that and you chase that, that would be a kind of set your whole course of your offseason. Even if you don't get it, like you're trying to get something like that. I'm trying to think about other teams, like Milwaukee's in that, maybe in that situation, but you don't really want their guys. Like, it's just not as attractive, as attractive. Derek White as Porzingis.
Derek White is like a closer in the playoffs.
I don't know. I think they like Bobby Portis.
Yeah, Portis. Okay, is Milwaukee going to offload him for?
I mean, they might have to do something.
Like, what's Portis's number? Like 18 or 22? Something.
I don't think it's that.
Portis is at 13.4.
Okay, well that's ideal for them if they could do it.
But like if in my opinion, and it's a player option by the way, which I think I'll pick up. Bobby Portis fills in a regular season need and like this, you know, I think adds to their lineup versatility. And sure, I'm not saying he can't have playoff moments in big playoff games, but like Derek White feels more like the man. That is like the type of move that really moves the playoff needle.
Yes, twice the money, but he better be.
For sure. But you know what I mean?
He's a better player. He's a championship player. No question about it.
And a guy who could play next to Steph, I mean, so classically could play next to Steph. Like he would be, I'm sure that's a guy that's
Steve
like,
Steve would be ecstatic. Oh, he would be so happy if he got his hands on Derek White again. Yeah, Milwaukee did come up with the team. I mean, obviously not, you know, the Giannis thing, but like they've got a couple of interesting pieces. Like, you know, to me, Bobby Portis is the obvious one. I'm just looking at teams that kind of have to do something. Like, is there anything on the Knicks? You know, do the Knicks stand pat? Like, how does that go down? Like, they fire the coach and get a new one in.
Well, here's one.
They do have some weird pieces, but would you want Cam Payne?
No, he really wants him. Like, yeah. He wants to see some backup.
Yeah. Here's the name. Like, I don't know if Minnesota for sure has to, but how about Dante DiVincenzo? Like, there's a name. Like, you know, he's not
he's a playoff. Sounds like he would be in a theoretical Durant deal.
Yeah, and if things start moving around, like that's a name I'm looking at. I'm just trying to think of. Like, I've been told like there's obviously we all know there's teams that need to get off of money. I don't know exactly which ones other than Boston, Milwaukee, but like there's players that I think the Warriors are looking at on in those situations. I don't know who they are, but I'm just looking around and Dante's one of them. Obviously we know he's playing the system. There are some people he probably wouldn't have wanted to be back with who are no longer on the team. And you know, he could fit as a third guard. Like he's a third guard. He's a classic NBA third guard. But you know, I don't know if that's somebody they're looking at for sure, but just like that situation are the people I'm looking at.
Yeah, it's high value. It's $11.9 million, which is a great value deal. You know, I think Minnesota at this point is like I said, I use him. I think not only in the Durant talks, which could certainly seem like fall apart for them, as far as like sounds like Durant doesn't want to be there, but he seems more like a building block to them going big game hunting, but. Yeah, I mean, stuff falls through. Plan A becomes Plan B, becomes Plan C, becomes Plan D. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. What else is on y'all's radar?
Well, I want to ask you guys, what teams do you think would want Kuminga? Like, what's the Kuminga team market? I don't even know what the dollar number
is. You got to price it?
Yeah, I mean, let's say it's not it's 35. It's East Coast.
It's East Coast related. Miami, Chicago. I'm curious about Toronto. What if, you know, if Brooklyn gets deeper into their offseason and like they haven't been able to use their cap space to gather assets and they're sitting there going, you know, what does an offer sheet look like? You know, if they took the Warriors into the second apron with an offer sheet, do they think they could pry them away? It's an interesting thought. Washington is another team I'm curious about. Sacramento is another team.
Slater, you got to be all over that one. I'm
curious about, I don't know if they. I feel like they should be interested is Detroit. I feel like Detroit could use what Kuminga has, and he definitely fits that like youth movement they have. Super young, athletic, but a little bit more skilled than their other guys who at scoring. You know, they rely a lot on Malik Beasley to make a bunch of threes.
He does.
He did.
Yeah, and he's a free agent, right? So
you got to deal with Indiana. You got to deal like. It feels like Detroit would be a good fit when you think about the Eastern Conference team. I was curious though about like if Minnesota is making a move like that, you know, I don't know what they're gonna do with Julius Randle. But
we talked about it earlier, Julius Randle. I mean, that's but Boston. If Boston is remaneuvering and like you know, kind of repositioning themselves. And you are talking about a Derek White type, you know, be an interesting play.
Yeah. I wonder, and maybe I'm totally off on this by year, but I heard Utah was interested in Kuminga. I don't know if Kuminga would want to go there. If the dollars are right, is there somebody you can pluck off of the Utah roster? I don't even know that roster very well, but I had heard like Kuminga was somebody Utah was interested in picking up. And it surprised me because the money you got to pay him, but maybe even then they realized they wouldn't have to pay him 40. But that was like, I said, oh, yeah, no, I was asking Warriors people, like, that's a guy they probably didn't want in a marketing trade. They go, oh, no, Utah was interested in Kuminga. I just don't know what that piece coming back.
Indians was interested in
Walker Kessler.
That's Walker one. Kessler. You know, not a terrible name. I mean, I don't know that Utah. I don't know what Utah's doing, frankly. I like Danny Ainge a lot.
Does Utah know what Utah's doing?
Yeah, I just don't know what
Austin
they're doing.
Austin Ainge said that they're it's time to end the rebuild. They're trying to win again. So.
Yeah, but with what now? What have they got?
I'm not great question, but it was just.
That means they go to get pieces. Yeah, it's time. Yeah. That means everybody's on the table.
Lauri Markkanen, I don't think Markkanen is a Warriors target this time around at that price. Although they would have given him that number if they traded for him, right? They would have had to.
So, yeah, you know, his stock dropped. He had a bad year.
Yep.
He had a bad year, and he signed a max deal. So
and he's been on a not all his fault, but he's been on a losing team is like his whole career. So like it's a little like him. Can you do something about winning here? You think the Warriors at all would jump back into the Vucevic conversation?
I think that's like a later, like when I was talking
trade
about ECDE, like that didn't by deadline time, by the time they had their big ticket move, which was Butler, and like Vucevic theoretically potentially could have still been on the table, I felt a real like kind of coldness.
They weren't interested. Yeah.
He's not. He's bad.
They don't really like him. Yeah. He just was like the best possible, like the best option at the time.
Well,
like,
the other thing during that whole time, they played the Bulls twice, and like Quentin Post outplayed Vucevic in both games. I remember Quentin Post had like three or four threes in Chicago. It was Butler's first game,
mm-hmm.
and Post had like some surge, and then they went to Milwaukee and he hit four threes again in the third. And I remember at the time, people were like, You sure?
We do.
And Nikola Vucevic $1 million right now, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. And I know some people go, hey, Vucevic is a proven pro, but who's to say that Quentin Post won't be just as good as him in a couple of years? And Post is making the minimum or whatever they're going to have to pay him. Vucevic isn't bad, not a bad player, but you get again, like he's been on a bad team everywhere he's been. And he's been kind of the reason why he's been on a bad team everywhere he's been.
The part I was hearing even while Vucevic was like, you know, a target was like, is that 3-point number real? Right. And
yeah.
He got hot to start and then you got to kind of
see. Levine did.
Yeah. So that was the big question. And if he's not a 40% 3-point shooter, he's definitely not nearly as valuable, right? It's like, because he's not giving you anything on defense. I'm pretty sure he's made a couple of euro. No defense teams.
I haven't done those for years, MC. But he would.
He would definitely make the no defense team.
Oh man, you're bringing up.
He's got to shoot 40% from three, and he caught fire, but toward like it didn't sustain. So that had some people questioning like how legit it was, and if he gets to the Warriors and he's shooting 32% like that, he's not playing. Like yeah. He's just
and,
not playing.
And he does that, and you've moved Post. You basically would have to move Post to do it. I think that would probably be a mistake.
That's not the bull they should be going after.
Which
Kobe
one?
White. Kobe White, baby.
Yep.
That's the bull they need to go after right there.
He'd fit a lot of things. He'd fit a lot of things that we're talking about. You know, pressure valve release. You know, somebody who can just take over and like nights when Steph doesn't play, like we keep talking about this. He played a ton of games last season, but he's not going to play every game. And who's going to be the offensive initiator? It's like they don't have one other than Jimmy.
That is also a team that has been interested in Jonathan Kuminga for years.
Yep. Yeah. Well, that would be a very interesting mix. And I do think I think the Warriors, you know, just numerically, they cannot get a great player back for John Kuminga if they trade him. They can't. It's just the number.
I mean, you mentioned Kobe White.
I mean, a younger player they can do. They can't get a proven player. I shouldn't say you're not putting Kuminga into the mix for, you know, Durant or something. The numbers just don't quite work unless you're doing like a 14.
But the numbers with Kobe works, right? Because
he's only making 12.8.
So Chicago gives Kuminga 25. I'm just saying that's the level of player we're talking about that they are gettable for Kuminga.
Yeah, and Kobe right. White, Kevin Durant, yeah. Same level.
Yeah. I say not Kevin Durant. I said that's not what they can do. It's just the numbers don't work. And if you narrow it down, that's why I think it's likely they're going to do it, just because this is when the movement is. Yes, it makes sense for them to sign him now. And then you could trade the full value of the contract in December, January, February. But And maybe that's what they do. And they have to say they're going to do it, right? You have to say you're going to do it in order to see, which try to have some leverage now. I just think it's better to do it now. You don't do it unless the deal's there, but I just think it's better to do it now if you can, not necessarily at the draft, but certainly once we get to July.
Of course, we're talking about the Bulls here. Yeah. So
they got Josh Giddey. They're fine. They got Josh Giddey.
Working a deal with them is an unpredictable experience.
That's what they want. So everything says it's so hard to trade with them, and then when they do trade, their best thing it's Caruso, and they don't get enough back. Like, if you're so hard to trade with, get something huge back for
you would think it would be because, like, you hold a hard line, you're gonna get what you want, right? And then they literally delivered a championship to it's insane. But reality to be fair,
the Thunder didn't have any first rounders.
No, they couldn't dare put a first pick in.
Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
Would it be fair to say if we were doing this as a bet, right? What are the odds? Where you put the odds? Kuminga's back.
Kuminga's back for the first day of the season. I mean, training, all that. I say it's 55% against. I know you guys are different than that, but I'll say 55 against. Slater?
I just think the market dynamics are going to lead him back. As you know, we've detailed plenty. I'll have a story coming out next week a little
bit. Uh-oh. So,
no, I mean, it's nothing crazy. I talked to him. I saw him. He looks really good right now. I went to Cleveland. He looks excellent, and I understand it's a setting of, like, you know, 3-on-3. He's working on skill work. He's certainly not, you know, trying to master back cutting and pin down screens. And I get, like, you know, maybe the, like, a level of frustration with that. Like, he wants to be what he wants to be, which is a multiple time All-Star, and he's very focused on that. And that obviously seems like easier to be done elsewhere, but we can again go through the asset management aspect of this summer and what the market is. And it's just, I just think it's probably going to lead him back to the Warriors, at least temporarily.
And that to me is the part that's probably the most interesting of it all. He comes back. Like, how does this work? Do they alter the offense? Does he get the summer with Jimmy Butler?
Where's Jimmy? Abu Dhabi?
Jimmy's just part of a group that, you know, purchased or is trying to purchase him, like, one of these Premier League.
Was it like Crystal Palace, I think? Or?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I mean, we'll again, look, it makes sense for him to come back. It does. Like, it really does. Again, but what's the contract going to be? I don't know. Like, what if you're the Warriors, it has to be more than 1 year. You kind of need to have control of them. So you
can it's got to be at least three. Yeah,
it's got to be three. It can be 2+1, probably.
Yeah, but it can be 2+1. It can be 3+1. And, you know, they'll ask for the player option.
Yep. Yeah, and you probably give it to him, but
four for 100 with player options.
Yeah, I mean, that's about right. That's about right, and it's tradable. No,
Draymond deal.
Yeah, Draymond would love that too. But yeah, I just think that there's going to be a lot of pressure on trying to make this happen, and if there's a lot of things happening in the league, there will be more options. We'll see if they want to do it. It's going to be weird, but listen, it's Steve Kerr. That's why you get paid a lot of money to do this stuff. If bring him in there, figure out something for him, you know, what his role is going to be, and go from there. If it does not work, it doesn't work. And you make another decision in December. I just think that's obvious. That's an option. That's something you have to consider. I just think there's going to be enough in play that there's going to be something for them to do. If teams like Kuminga, and not every team does, but enough teams do. I think enough teams do, and there isn't going to be he's a pretty big value no matter what. Like, we look at it, we know the fit isn't great. You look at what's available out there. You know, this whole league's built on wings, and he's a big wing. You know, no one can doubt that.
He's a big wing that scores in the paint a lot, gets to the free throw line a lot, for a team that doesn't do those things a lot.
And watching Jalen Williams is going to have a lot of teams saying, yeah, I need one of those.
He also, like, he's in he's working extremely hard right now. He's on like he's re- like and whatever like again people can have their opinions on what he will be long term from an efficiency standpoint, and obviously like the flaws in his game remain, but like he is on like he's on a mission to try to like maximize what he's going to be as a featured type scorer. I don't know what that's going to be, but it is a risky talent to give up if you know the returns that we're talking about are as bland as they probably are. And sure, could be helpful, could nudge the you know the Warriors a little bit forward, but you know it's I don't know what percent chance you guys think that Kuminga will reach like all-star wing level, but it's not zero.
Yeah, so I really compare him to Mathurin. And we're seeing Mathurin, what he can do in a finals, the playoff.
Good run. And bad, right?
Yeah,
good
yeah it's good. Exactly. It's get to the line, but it's also turnover. It's also, he might get 24 in 20 minutes. He might get 3 in 20 minutes, and he might screw up 6 times like he did at the end of that finals game. But yeah, is Mathurin a possible all-star? Possible. Yeah, I mean, it's possible. And I think Kuminga is very similar. Might be a little ahead, might be a little behind. I'm not sure. But I think those values are very similar, and it's hard to pin what exactly that is. I think even the Pacers aren't 100% sure about Mathurin. They haven't started him. You know, like this is a interesting way to look at young wings, but young wings are valuable.
He also like won game 3 for the Pacers.
Yeah, exactly. Like you know, he's
what did he score like 20 something.
Yeah, 27.
Very,
yeah,
very,
yeah,
very, huge. Very explosive player. I would and there say, aren't a lot of players like that. They're just
and
aren't.
Let's like.
He's also older than Kuminga, by the way.
Is he? I thought they're about the same age, right? They're about.
Yeah, well, I mean, about the same age. He just turned 23 yeah, today. Today Kuminga's is his birthday, 20, actually.
Kuminga's 22.
Yeah,
Kuminga's 22. Mathurin's 20. Turned 23 today.
Kuminga's 22, and like anyway. The other thing, like you know, the Houston series did happen where it was you know on full display, like Kerr's lack of trust in him as like you know kind of a role player. But the Minnesota series also happened where Steph Curry was out and. They're on a desperate search for anybody to score, and suddenly he's 25 a game on 52%. He's getting to the line. He's, you know, cooking Naz Reid downhill. Like, Minnesota had real trouble staying in
Minnesota
front of
him. Minnesota had a problem, yeah.
They did. And, you know, how many games is Steph Curry going to play next year? How many games is Jimmy Butler going to play next year? How many games are they both going to play together? Like,
together, 30?
No, I think it's higher than that.
Yeah, it's higher than 30. You would hope it's higher than 30.
But even some games they do play together, it's February and you're in, you know, Indy, I'll say, because I'm looking over Indy right now. Like, you know, Steph Curry might, hey, I don't have it tonight, right? It's January in Indy. It's a back-to-back. You know, how many East Coast back-to-backs that are big games? Like, not terrible to roll the ball over to Kuminga and say, hey, like, you want to be this featured guy? Go prove it tonight with a win, which, by the way, he did some – remember the games this year? No Draymond, no Steph. They're playing at home against the Rockets, and he scores 34, and he has the game winner. And I think he had like a 34 against the Clippers. And, look, the fit issues are what they are. The scar tissue's there. Like, and that may – it just make it too uncomfortable. And, like, this situation will play itself out over the next few weeks. But there's value to him not only as the asset but as the player. What he does, and I think sometimes that's a little forgotten. And I know I get
Not going to live for nothing. There's no way they're doing that. Even if I mean, you would have to offer him $40 million a year for the Warriors to even think about not matching it. No matter what, it's going to be a match, or it's going to be a bring him back, or it's going to be a trade. Like they're doing, they're not giving up the asset. They're going to get something back for him. It's a matter of, are they going to get back enough in a trade, or are they just going to keep him? And that's what we're discussing here. I talked to Lake a couple days ago, and like, you know, we're sending a message by having him sit next to you in Valkyrie's debut zone. You know, no, don't read too much into it. I think he was kind of backing away a little bit from when he told you Slater right after they were eliminated, you know, about how much he loves them and all the fans behind him were saying, asking about him. Like basically signaling he's not going to stand away if Dunleavy comes up with a good deal. He does like him. It's a value. It's an asset. But I don't think Joe Lacob, like with Wiseman, who he love, isn't going to say, I have to keep this guy. He's not going to do that. He's going to want to make sure they get something good for him, though. Like, he's not going to sign off on a crap deal. But I don't think Dunleavy would want to do a crap deal either. This is an asset.
Joe, they could play golf with Klay Thompson like what, that like 2 weeks true. Before.
Yeah, that is also true. That is very. That's been pointed out to me. That has been pointed out to me.
Speaking of Joe Lacob, I don't know. If I'm him, I might be putting the Warriors up for sale right now.
What's the number? At least, what, 10.1?
Yeah.
At least.
Yep.
I was talking to people. They were like, way more. More, you know, because they, you know.
That sounds like somebody I know would have that opinion.
It was a couple of people. It wasn't more. But, yeah. It's interesting because they're coming up on, I think it's July 10th. TK, you remember, it's like the 15th anniversary when Joe bought the team.
Yep.
Is this July? I forgot the exact date, but this is July. So 15 years, bought the team for what, 450?
Yep.
15 years, it's $10 billion.
Yep. Yep.
I don't know. TK, I might have to sell that thing.
If your members of the Lincoln family, like, listen, my percentage of that would be
well. Yeah, like,
yeah.
I've been told though that's not even a consideration.
No.
There's no way. But I don't know. I'd be thinking about it. 450 to 10 billion Slater in 15 years, that's a bubble.
I remember 450 was a ridiculous number at the time. Like, what?
Yes, because remember the Suns went for like 400.
Yeah,
right before that. No, I think
it was 350, or maybe it was four, but it's like
401. It's 401. Yeah.
Yeah. What the hell are they doing? And it's become a ridiculous. I mean, the Valkyries are like, they're worth probably like $600 million right now, and they own both them and the Warriors. And
I mean, what's the land though? Just the land.
Chase Center. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, that 14-acre plot that he got from Benioff for like a discount, right? Yeah. Like it was like super low. It wasn't even like $150 million or something.
Yeah, well, of course, if you're Joe Lake, it'd be gone. You know, if it's worth $10 billion now, it's going to be worth $20 billion in 3 years, right? Why sell now? Why not just keep holding on? Because all it does is get more value. It's all it does. Because you know what? He's convinced they're going to keep winning championships. We'll see about that, but that's the way he thinks. That it's just going to add value. There's going to be more of it. Why sell now when it's going to be worth even? It's going to double again. It's going to triple again. We'll see if that happens.
Also, I mean, loves the courtside seat, the voice in the front, you know, in personnel, the idea of being
the final stop. Yep.
Yeah. And he's got the Valkyries now. Like he is revved up about the Valkyries. Let me tell you, like revved up about this, and they don't even have a star. So, and we'll see what they do this offseason. But
not yet.
Exactly. I think there's some names on a whiteboard. Put it that way. But
just signed Bree Hall from Dawn Staley's South Carolina Gamecocks, elite defender.
Okay.
In time for I wonder if she's gonna play against Caitlin tonight. That felt like a go guard Caitlin. Come and guard, Caitlin.
Wow, that's an interesting thing. Well, I'll see it tonight. You will not, MT. You will not.
I'll be watching the Oklahoma City Thunder raise. Yeah,
we might be in the middle of a champagne celebration.
It'd be very Warriors. Win a championship on the road. That's very Warriors.
So I was just at their shoot around, you know, trying to discuss with them. I'm obviously, you know, the Thunder. They're like, oh, got 48 minutes. We gotta, you know, we can't even discuss the idea of a celebration. But I was like, I am very curious. We were all in Boston. Remember the last time the Warriors won it, and it was just this champagne celebration on the floor. Remember Bob Myers walking around barefoot. It was they went hard after that title on the road, and then shifted it over to a restaurant in Boston. I'm very curious to see the Thunder organization in this potential moment, in a celebratory, particularly road moment, like how loose the most like disciplined button up organization will get. That is
time 47 is about to be lit, baby.
Sam Presti on the dance floor, just going nuts.
Take it over. They're gonna take over Pride 47.
You need to be at that party. You need to be at that party, Slater. I want to hear
read about it in the Athletic. Yeah, Marcus. Maybe we'll co byline it. Get into Prime 47.
Let's go. Yeah, but
it is very. It is so Warrior. There's a lot of Warriors parallels. We've just, you know, the MVP young guard and all these other things and lead the league
down 2-1 in the series and then run off.
winning on the road might be the most Warriors possible thing. Clinching on, because we know three of the Warriors' four championships were clinched on the road. The only one was the five was Durant's first year. But that it's such a Warriors thing. There's almost more.
The one time they didn't, it was because Cleveland hit like 93s.
Yeah. Game four. They come back. But that was a cool thing, too. That was that Bill Russell was in the house, remember, when they win that one in Oakland? That was
really cool. And just to have this error, like you almost want to say you won one.
Locally. Yep. And then Slater, you followed Durant as he was driving out and the fans were mopping the car.
Yeah, it was great because he had sprained his MCL in like January or February. Remember when Zaza got thrown into his leg?
I thought he broke his leg.
He broke his leg to the point they were going to sign Jose Calderon, but they told Calderon, hey, we got to sign Matt Barnes. Hmm. They signed Matt Barnes to the end of the roster that night because they thought Durant might be out for the season. I say that because he like swore off alcohol to like help his rehab, and like because he was so focused on getting back for the playoffs, and he did not have a drink from January or whatever the date of the injury was to the moment they won the title in June. And so he had like three sips of the champagne, and he was like, "Whoa, he was feeling it already." I remember that, and that was the story I did for the Mercury News at the time.
How long ago it was.
Yeah, it was probably one of my last stories.
that was only if Tim Kawakami had his brothers, it wouldn't have been for the Mercury News.
Yeah. That was a whole other thing.
I remember that.
I was still at the Mercury News, and you were still at the Mercury News, Marcus.
So, yeah. I know, but we had a decision to make, maybe a month before that.
Yes, we did.
But yeah, no, I that. You want to know what I remember from that wild Oracle celebration? Which again, it was fun to like experience one in Oracle and just like see that. I walked by their locker room, and there was like they had a little training thing on the side. This must have been an hour after the game, and JaVale McGee is sprinting on a treadmill. He must have been like they must have had the treadmill at like 15 miles an hour or something, and he's in, I assume, off some champagne, I don't know, but like, and there's at least like two or three players like egging him on to seeing how like fast he can sprint. I'm like, this is an hour after they've won the title. It's like a party scene, and JaVale McGee is just in an absolute full sprint on a treadmill. I was like, what is going on in this
place? One and only JaVale McGee.
JaVale McGee,
baby. I remember Bill Russell being there. That's like, that stopped. Just like, whoa. And they're celebrating that side room. They're taking their pictures, and they're taking their pictures with Bill Russell. So that was kind of cool. That was really cool. So it was good for them to lose that game four, I guess. And then they got the money for game five, for the home gate, which was a lot of money, like $14 million. So, all right. I think we're running out of stuff, guys.
All right. We will talk to y'all next week. Draft. We might just talk about the draft.
Draft and free agency starts right after that, and there could be all kinds of things. All right.
Let's start this Ryan Nembhard, can't we?
I'm all for Nembhards. They're good players. All right.